my father. Not that it was my father's favorite song, but that he sang tenor, and there's a high tenor part, and it was just at the top of my dad's range, so he would sing it louder to try to force that note out there, and I could just hear him singing that sharp, you know, this morning as we sang. That makes me miss him. Makes me miss hearing him sing sharp. But it's good to be with you this morning. We're going to continue our study in the book of Matthew chapter 6. So this is getting into another segment of the Sermon on the Mount. The last section that we read from Matthew chapter 5, we read about Jesus correcting many of the false teachings concerning the law of Moses. As we've said before, the Pharisees and teachers had somewhat lowered God's high and holy law and into a way that maybe they thought that they could attain righteousness, but weren't where they needed to be. And Jesus, in this section of Scripture and his teaching to them, is restoring the message of the law so that they can see that they have failed before God's law and that they are in need of a Savior. So before we look at the details of this message here in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 18 this morning, I'd like for you to notice a few things that Jesus is referencing here. First of all, he is looking at three different aspects of practicing righteousness in these first 18 verses. If you look at the first four verses of Matthew chapter 6, he talks about giving to the needy. And so he's addressing giving. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people to be seen by them, for you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others." So the first few things that he mentions here are, giving in the first four verses, and then in next few verses 5 and 6, he talks about praying, and he also talks about fasting. And so you will notice in these three different things, in giving, praying, and fasting, that there are some similarities here. And each one of these sections, Jesus gives a warning of what not to do, followed by a section that teaches you what to do. And resting in between these three different things that he's talking about, giving, praying, and fasting, he gives us what we call the model prayer, or refer to as the Lord's Prayer. And so, this prayer, this example prayer, is bookended by these warnings about practicing good works. So, we'll look at the significance of that in this lesson. But I just want you to see the structure in this section, how Jesus addresses our acts of righteousness so that we can learn from this. And some of this is repetitive. Some of this is repetition of some things that he's already said in chapter 5. But it does seem that the Pharisees in particular here do have an issue with the reason that they're doing some of the things that they do. And so he's emphasizing this. And so the warning that we see here is concerning practicing righteousness and doing good works in the life of a Christian, that we should not desire to be seen by others, which really is kind of interesting, because when you look back at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, you remember what Jesus told us there about doing good works, about letting your light shine. What was one of the reasons that we're to let our light shine? So that we can be seen by others. Well, what's wrong with being seen by others? He said in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So we are to do good works. And a byproduct of that is that people will see what you're doing and that you're glorifying God. And hopefully, in turn, they might want to do the same thing in their own life. So, what Jesus is telling us in chapter 6 and chapter 5, those things are not contradictory. He's not saying, well, you should do your good works so that you can be seen. But now he's saying, well, you shouldn't do your good works to be seen. I think we probably understand what the difference is here. That there is a good reason that people should see your good works, but the reason that you should do good works is not so that you can be seen. That is not your motivation. So there's a danger here that he's pointing out to the Pharisees, that and that they have fallen into this particular sin. And so these sections here, Jesus is giving a warning. Let's look at these different warnings. Verses 1 and 2, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Verse 5 says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. And if you flip over to verse 16, it says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have receive their reward. So in each one of these sections, whether it's dealing with giving, or it's dealing with praying, or it's dealing with fasting, there is a warning that's given here, where he teaches his disciples that what you're doing, you must not be doing it to be seen by others when you're doing these works before God. So the warning is about motivation, that you need to have the proper motivation, not that other people may see you. And so, could that be a problem? Could that be a problem with us? I can remember a time in my life when I was younger that one of my primary motivations in attending services was so that nobody would call me and ask me why I wasn't at service. Because I was not... didn't have a lot of motivation spiritually at the time, unfortunately. And God was gracious with me that I spiritually matured and not that way anymore. But that was a motivation. And I'm sure a lot of young people, or maybe older people as well, from time to time have had that motivation. Well, if I don't attend, if I don't show up, you know, my mom and dad are going to be mad at me, or people are going to call me, and I would rather go than have to answer phone calls about where I am. And so that can be a problem with people. And Jesus is addressing this here about those that would practice things not because they love God, not because they have any kind of thankfulness or thanksgiving in their heart toward what God has done for them, but their primary motivation and what they do, what they say, where they go, has to do with what other people think about them. And they want to have those kind of relationships or get those pats on the back. And Jesus tells them to beware of this. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Verse 5 says they're praying in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. And perhaps maybe you've seen that before. People that want to make a show out of praying. And in verse 16, you know, this is probably a little bit more foreign to us because we don't tend to practice fasting. That's a subject for another lesson. But, you know, disfiguring their faces. And so the idea here is that when somebody fasts, they're going to look gaunt. They're going to look withdrawn. They're going to look thinner. And they would look like they're hungry. And so they would disfigure their faces in order to be seen by others. You know, sometimes people milk those situations today. They may, you know, they may not feel good, and so they want others to know that they don't feel good. And so they mope around, and they want somebody to ask, well, how are you? Well, you know, I'm not really doing real well. And we see that on social media a lot, where people may post something to get attention or to mope and make people feel sorry for. But so what we see here is that people were doing these religious things in order to be seen by others. Or, you know, verse 16, the fasting, it seems to be that not only, you know, might they fast, but they wanted to make sure everybody knew that they were fasting, so they were going to artificially change their appearance so people would think that they're doing something. The point here is over and over again, it says that they have their reward and that their desire is not to be seen by others. And you notice what Jesus says here about this. If your motivation is for self, when you do good works, then congratulations, because you have already received your reward. If somebody noticed you and you were successful at getting somebody to notice you, to tell you, you know, what a great person you are and what good you have done, then you have received that reward. Verse 2, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But the problem is that the proper reward is something that they're not going to receive. They are not going to receive their reward from their Father in heaven. Back up to verse 1. To do these things in order to be seen by them, for you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Well, what should be more important to me? It should be more important to me to have the reward of my Father in heaven rather than the reward of everybody else in the world. So we need to hear that, and we need to let it sink into our hearts. As the praise of other people, if that's all the reward that we receive, you know, how trivial is that? How temporary is that? It's really useless. Yet, boy, it sure is tempting to get it, though. It sure does make you feel good when somebody compliments you, when somebody praises you on what you're doing, or recognizes you for a job well done, or they compliment you on how spiritual they think that you are. And here, these examples that Jesus gives here of the praying and the fasting and the giving, you know, these are all great, admirable things that somebody can do. And you notice Jesus doesn't tell them, now stop praying, stop fasting, stop giving. No, those things need to be done, but he's talking about the reason for which they do those things. If you want that trivial, useless, temporary reward, you can get that, you know, pretty easily. But if that's your exchange and your eternal reward for that temporary moment of praise, that's very foolish. So, you know, doing good for the wrong reason, you know, that's really no worth to God when we do it to honor ourselves rather than to honor God. Our hearts need to be pure. And God needs to be the object of proper giving and prayer. And so it's, you know, it sure is easy to have other people know what you're doing and to advertise those things and to draw attention to yourselves. It seems particularly easy today. And, you know, it's pretty obvious that I spend too much time on social media. But there's other people that are worse. But when we do that, what do we see a lot of times? You probably say, well, that person's a narcissist. You know, that person is always posting. You know, there's not an event in their life that they're not going to post about, and there's not any feeling that they ever have. You know, no headache, no ache, no digestive problem. Nothing that happens to them is going to go unnoticed, because they are every step, every ache, every pain that they have, you are going to see it advertised to everybody. I have a particular person in mind that none of you know. But every day, my air conditioner doesn't work. You know, my car's not working. I'm not getting enough hours at work. And my feet are hurting when I'm getting out of... You know, there's nothing positive. And then you have those that enable that. I say, oh, you poor baby. There's all the, oh, you poor babies, that post reactions to that. And so it's just this vicious cycle of feel sorry for me, and a lot of people that are willing to do that. And so we see that. We see so many people drawing attention to their self, and they receive their reward for that. But Jesus, in particular, is talking about things that are very useful, giving and praying and fasting. These are things that are useful and necessary, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons, for these temporary, selfish reasons. That has to sink in. And so look at verse 2. Jesus says not to blow a horn every time you do something good. Ethan and I were at Helena game a couple of weeks ago. They're number one in their region, by the way. But we were at the Helena game, and I know the people that own the Nukes Eatery franchise here because they're band parents at Helena. And it was like at the end of every play, tonight's game is sponsored by Nukes Eatery. And so I know that they were advertising that, and that they paid for that notoriety, and I saw them in the stands, and I stopped and talked to them. I said, hey, did you hear that tonight the game's sponsored by Nukes Eatery? Because we had only heard it 30 times, and we laughed about that. But, people sometimes will purchase notoriety for themselves. And we understand that in the advertising world. We understand that when people make donations. And perhaps you've given online to a GoFundMe or something, and sometimes you see people's names, how much they gave. Sometimes you see anonymous. Well, why would somebody want to give and be anonymous? Doesn't that seem crazy? Don't you want everybody to know that you gave? No. Is that our motivation? Is I want to get my name on the list so everybody else can see how generous I am? Sometimes that's people's motivation. And if you have a lot of money, you can give money to a college, get your name on the building. I don't know how many times when I was working at EBSCO that we reprinted symphony programs because some donor's name was left off. And they would not want that donor's name to be left off because they gave, they contributed, and we don't want them not to see their name. People do things for praise. They do things for honor. They do things because they are glory seekers. And Jesus is saying, spiritually, that's not a good thing, because where does that honor belong? It belongs to God. This is it's a sin of the heart for the Pharisees to be behaving in this way. That these things that they're doing, while they're certainly good, they don't need to be doing those things so that they can be seen by others. You'll notice in it that each one of these sections, when Jesus is instructing them, he calls them hypocrites. Because you're doing good works for the show and not for the love of God. You're doing things for the show and not for the love of God. So when you are being fake, when you're being a hypocrite, you have your reward here. You've received it, but you've lost your reward with God. So Jesus says that a person can give an appearance of righteousness and not really be righteous at all. They can play the part, they can look the role, but they're hypocrites. They are fooling other people, and certainly we're not surprised by that, that there are those that claim to be Christians and maybe seem to be Christians, but really in their hearts, their hearts are not right, and Jesus was dealing with that in his day, and it hasn't changed in this day. So Jesus tells us how to fix that, how to practice righteousness. In verse 3 and 4, he says, "But when you give to the needy, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So when you're doing this, forget about yourself. Forget about the appearance to others. Think about God. Think about what you're doing and keep that between yourself and God. Don't announce what you're doing. That just seems so opposite, doesn't it? That from what we really want to do. If we do something good, if we give a gift, if we donate money, we want everybody to see what it is that we did. But he says not to do that. Don't seek your own glory in acts of kindness or righteousness or whatever it might be. So it also says that you would be so secretive about what you're doing that the left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. So it's pictured that way. It's also, you know, repeated in other paragraphs. In verse 6, he says, when you pray, go to your room, shut the door. Don't stand on the street corner. Don't stand in the synagogue. When you're fasting, he says, wash your face, anoint your head. Don't reveal what you are doing for the Lord. And that's a dangerous thing. As I've already said, we often try to get attention. We try to change our appearance. We change our Facebook status for people to ask what's going on with us. We will manipulate situations so people will ask us what we did or what's going on with us so we can have an opportunity to talk about ourselves. I always think about a lot of illustrations that I have to do with food, but the Rice Krispie Treats commercial, because even I can make Rice Krispie Treats. It's really easy. But the commercial where the woman slaps the flour all over her face and messes up her hair, and so the kids have a great appreciation for that she knew how to operate a microwave. It's not hard to make Rice Krispie Treats, but she's making it look like she sacrificed herself in doing this. And so, that's humorous commercial, but well, we understand that in spiritual terms here, Jesus is saying people are acting just like that. That they're attention seekers. They're trying to grab attention and notoriety. And he says, don't do that. When you fast, don't try to change your appearance. When you pray, don't go out in public so everybody can see what you're doing. The point is not to do those things to be seen. And don't get the wrong impression. This does not mean that it's wrong for somebody to see you do something good, or it's wrong for somebody to see you pray. We don't have to go to a restaurant and look around and make sure nobody's looking at us when we bow our head at the table. This is talking about what our intent is. If we're looking around and see, everybody's paying attention to me right now, and so this is a great time to pray because we're going to do this very loudly in the middle of this restaurant so everybody knows that we're spiritual and that we're praying, then yes, that would be wrong. Don't do these things to be seen by others. Do these things, Jesus says, in secret, because it's not about other people seeing you. So don't do these things for the wrong reason. Don't think about yourself when you're doing good deeds. Just do what it is that needs to be done. And don't worry about whether or not somebody else sees you, or that you're going to get proper credit for it, or other people are going to know about it, or somebody's going to commend you for what you've done. Jesus gives us the proper motivation here. Look at verse 4. So that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 6 says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And verse 18 says, your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And can you imagine somebody hearing Jesus say those words and say, well, that's not good enough. It's not good enough that my Heavenly Father is pleased. I've got to get the notoriety. I've got to get the attention. God sees what you're doing. And can anything be more important than that? And if you're a hypocrite, then these secret things you're doing, you're getting your reward because of the reason that you're doing things. We also need to keep in mind here that there's a side lesson here that Jesus sees what you're doing. And if you are a hypocrite, and the reason that you're doing these things, then God sees that too. Your sin will find you out, for God knows what you're doing. But if you're pure in heart, if you're poor in spirit, then these secret things that you're doing, the righteous acts that you're performing, you don't have to worry. Well, nobody saw me. No, God saw you. Your righteous acts and your sinful acts will find you out. Your righteous acts will find you out, for God knows what it is that you're doing, and that's all that should matter. And I know we know this, but it's such a problem that we can be so focused, even when we're not trying to be, we can be so focused and so mindful of what it is that others think and be really wanting the praise and approval of others instead of thinking about the approval of God. That was a mistake the Pharisees were making in that day, and it's a mistake that we make today. So, what are you seeking from your righteous act? You're seeking God's approval, not people's approval. But one thing that you can certainly notice about this is the structure of this lesson. Sandwiched right in the middle of this instruction is prayer. We see that prayer is the center of this discussion about why it is that you're doing these things. Why is it that you're giving? Why is it that you're fasting? What is it that you're doing when you're praying? Well, you know, here's what to do when you pray. And so prayer is really the hub of this whole lesson. And what we see here is that, you know, Jesus wants us to pray that God's will be done. He wants us to pray that God is glorified. He wants us to pray. Let's just read the prayer. Our Father who in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So what you see here, there's nothing about this prayer that is for glory. It's certainly nothing like the prayer that Jesus told that the Pharisee would pray, that was so complimentary of himself. This prayer is that God's will be done. This prayer is that God be glorified, and that we have the proper response to sin, and we have the proper response to others, that we forgive others, and that we're not led into temptation. So it's a very humble prayer. It leads us into acts of righteousness, and that's what we should be praying for. So I don't think it's certainly no mistake that prayer is sandwiched right in the middle of something that they really needed to pray about. And that was not to be self-righteous and not to be glory hogs. And so, you know, very powerful lesson that I think is very appropriate for us in this, you know, very, very self-centered, self-seeking, you know, glory hog society that we live in. Let's make sure that Jesus doesn't need to preach this lesson to us. Because it's something that we need, and something we need to think about. So I hope this will be useful to you. And I know it's a useful thing for me to study and to be reminded of. We can help you in any way today. If you're subject to the invitation in any way of the gospel of Christ, we can help you in any way. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.